2024, we had a big 2023. This year, it's going to look very different. We're going to take you behind the scenes with athletes from the world of college sports, pro sports, and the people who actually bring us all the entertainment. Our first up guest is Mr. Terrell Robinson Jr., an All-American track star. Mr. Terrell, welcome to the show. How are you, buddy? How's things?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. Excited to talk about behind the scenes. So, let's get into it.
Well, let's start here, buddy. Let's dig a bit into your life, who you are, where you came from. Take us through that journey there.
Yeah, so I'm Terrell Robinson, as you said before. I'm from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And I kind of joined the sport itself kind of late in comparison to, like, my peers. I started in seventh grade. Like, I see a lot of kids, I've been running since they're age of five or six. I started seventh grade, came through middle school, ran for a few track clubs, next level, Run Your Express. I went to Mount Tabor High School in Winston-Salem, and now I'm a Division II college athlete at St. Augustine's University.
Very, very nice. Talk to us about the fact you started late. Was that an advantage or a disadvantage? In some odd cases, it's actually an advantage. Take us through that.
Man, I see a lot of my friends are really good at a young age. They get tired of sport. You know, they're running their whole life. All their summers are taken up from June all the way to school starts. So I see a lot of people that I've raced who have burnt out kind of almost. But on the contrary, there are some kids that have enjoyed the sport the whole way through and loved it. I think I'm at an advantage. You know, I started kind of late. I enjoy the sport. I still have a love for the sport because it's a hard sport to do if you don't love it. It's horrible. So having that love for it.
What sport did you do beforehand?
I played a little bit of basketball. I played a little bit of soccer. That was a pretty big one. Taekwondo I did for about 4 or 5 years. And I played one season of football my senior year of high school.
I was about to say, I was waiting for the whole football part because
there's
always that correlation between the two. So what intrigued you? What got you into track?
Man, I was trying out for the basketball team in middle school.
Yeah.
And long story short, I didn't make the team. I made it as like a team manager, which is like I'd be on the team kind of, but wouldn't play really. And I was like, I'm good. Don't worry about it. The next sport that came up was track and field. So I gave it a shot. My older siblings had ran. I've just never gotten into it really. I don't know why. My mom never tried it. My dad never tried to put me into it. But it came up. And I was pretty decent my first year. After my first year, I took off my eighth grade season. National champion, AU, national champion, and all that. So from there, we just kept progressing it and getting better and better.
So you have older siblings that ran before you?
Yes. I think I have eight siblings total. I have six above me and two under me. So I think maybe five of the six all ran. I had one, my oldest brother ran track at Clemson in Tennessee. So they were all pretty good at their respective events. I just never got into it until I was like 12, 13.
How do you see your journey moving forward? What are some of your goals that you would like to achieve?
Yeah, I've only gotten better. I was All-American last year, NCAA, and I got hurt last year. So I like to come back from that. Right now, number two in the nation, Division II. So I want to win a national championship and qualify for the USATF World Trials. So that's my goals for this year, national championship, and qualify for the trials and compete there.
How old are you now?
I'm 19 now.
Oh, still very young.
Still young, but I'm at the top of the age group. So I was doing U20 last year. I turned 20 in August after the season. So I'm technically 20 by USATF rules. So yeah.
Any ambition to run for a D1 school?
I don't know. We'll play it by ear. I came here because my high school coach, Brashawn Jackson Batman, he coached me through high school. He got a job here. So I came with him. I had a couple of D1 choices if I wanted to really go. I'm sure I could go now if I wanted to. I've gotten a lot better. But we'll just play it by ear and see what happens.
So you chose the D2 school because your high school coach went there?
Yes.
Do you think that will help you further progress your career, or will that stagnate it?
I think it depends on how you look at it. We have a great relationship, and I think through track, me personally, I love relationships and just having someone that knows you and knows how you think, knows how you feel, can see how you're doing just by seeing, you know, a couple blowouts or a couple starts and stuff like that. That's really big to success. Cause a lot of you see at a lot of big institutions. I have friends that go D1 and stuff like that. It's just sometimes they get pushed under the rug. You know, there's so many more kids. And it's a business, really a business at those higher levels because the coaches are getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars, whether you know that or not. So it's just different. They get paid to win. And so it's not really as much personality and, you know, feeling.
Do you think that takes away from the fun of the sport?
I think it can sometimes for some people. If you're not built for it, if you don't have that mental, then, you know, you run bad and, you know, your scholarship's on the line. And just so many – it's so much that goes into it, believe it or not. But I've had people that buddies of mine have just been stressed, hit the portal two or three times. You know, it's just hard to find that home. We know that relationship with a coach.
The portal is a big conversation nowadays in college sport.
It's huge.
There's a lot of movement. And one of the reasons why is because all these NIL super PACs that are sort of forming around these college spaces and pretty much influencing who and how and what goes where. Have you been influenced? Have you been asked or been pushed by any super PACs to you know, anybody come and nudge you, give you that small nudge and say, come over here, we'll give you this?
Not really. You know, you hear the whispers from, you know, your buddies at schools or whatever. You know, coaches like, who's that kid? Try to get you over there, but there's not a lot of talking from coaches. Of course, not at all. It's illegal, for one. And for two, you know, they have to handle what they have to do. But I think there's a lot more. The big difference is a lot more money to offer at those bigger schools with NIL and stuff like that. So I haven't been persuaded or nudged. But, you know, if I do decide to go Division I and go to the portal and open up my recruitment and stuff like that, I'm sure conversations will be had about how much they have to offer money-wise. It's a big deal now, especially in the other sports. But for track, it's starting to build up as well.
How do you see this impacting track?
I see even high school kids are getting the shoe deals, like Adidas and New Balance and stuff like that. And my best friend, Shanti Jackson, she got a big Brooks deal. So I just seeing that and how college athletes are getting paid for what they should have been paid for in the beginning anyways. So it's cool. It shouldn't be conversation at all. It should have been like this from the jump. But I'm glad it's starting to finally come around.
Is it making things harder?
I think it takes away the ambition and the passion for some people. You know, if you have X amount of dollars over here, no matter what, just got to post a couple times, it takes away the ambition. For some people, I've seen a lot in like the bigger name sports, stuff like that. But yeah.
Wow. So, I mean, it makes it very tricky for coaches because how do you retain talent now? That's what the real question is. If you don't have the resources, now your talent is jeopardized, and if you invest the time and effort into it, all of a sudden now you can lose them like this, and it's you're moving on instantly. So I think it's made it a lot more competitive, a lot more tough to retain talent, and I think it works for the athlete because they get paid. But the other thing it does as well is it sets very high expectations, more than before, because now there's a capital element that's now affiliated and associated with every single athlete. So right. You come here, we're giving you this, but hey, you better deliver or you'll be gone in the next transfer window.
Exactly. So, there's even some kids that, you know, aren't as competitive at that level, but they have so much reach through social media and they run a game like that. So it's just so many different ways to it.
Good point. Do you believe now that some of these kids have hundreds of thousands of followers, millions of followers? Do you think that's influencing athletic department or coaching decisions on actually bringing them over to schools?
I think so, because publicity is money. And, you know, you have that big name kid that goes to your school and you see what they can do for their account and you plaster them on your account and your account goes up. So it just, it's so many different ways to work through NIL and who you pick to recruit and stuff like that. Definitely. I think it has a big impact.
Wow. Who would have thought? I mean, say 5 years ago, I remember 2021, July the 1st is when NIL went live. I was in Madison Square Garden, Times Square, and there was billboards everywhere, all these NIL companies saying, we're live.
Yeah, and not only that, before, a lot of kids would, you know, try to rush to go professional, whether it's in track or football or basketball, but now kids are, especially the women's basketball, is paid so much more money to stay in school than, you know, WNBA. So it's just...
some girls are making $2-3 million a year from NIL deals, studying, playing the sport they love, and getting paid. What a life. It's a no-brainer, right?
Of course.
Wow. Have you had any experience with the NIL world?
Yeah, none super big. There's a company, a local run club here called Runology in Raleigh, North Carolina. They show a lot of love, supply me what I need, throw me a little on the side. You know, of course, not big, monstrous numbers like, you know, the other sports and stuff like that. But that's my biggest supporter, biggest deal.
That doesn't matter, though.
Of course. And
what counts is the experience. Take us through that experience. How'd they come on board? Were they referred? Did they come up to you? What was that like going through your athletic department, making sure it's all compliant, so on and so on?
Yeah,
take me through from the start until where you are now.
Yeah, most of that goes through my coach and the athletic department. I don't really handle a lot of that stuff because, you know, they go through email or whatever. Of course, I have to sign at the end of the day, so I make sure I read through whatever I have to do, whatever the sign, whether I have to, you know, take pictures, certain number of posts, do whatever. But it's really not as in-depth as you would think. You know, they reach out. Coach handles a lot of that stuff. And if not, they don't reach out to me, then I go through my email and I have to show it to my the sports department or the head coach, and we go through that way. Ronzi's the biggest one. I've had a master deal with Zensa, which is like my compression sleeve company. And I've had some supplement companies reach out as well, and Firefly, which I am doing now. I need to sign that actually pretty soon. But Firefly's a recovery company. There's like little STEM stuff. So yeah.
Very, very nice. How has that boosted your confidence? Has that given you an edge? Do you believe it's giving you an edge? Because now you feel like, you know, your people coming, offering you deals, so on and so on, or has it put more pressure on you and worked it the other way?
I think it's more so encouraging because people believe in you, and it's a support team at the end of the day. If anyone puts any money into you, any time into you, they believe in you, and that's how I look at it. I don't really think of it as pressure, as a need to perform anything like that. Because I've been on the lights for a long time. In high school, I've raced in really big races, professional athletes. So the pressure is not really a thing, as much so as, you know, just having that encouragement and support.
Yeah, especially having 5 or 6 siblings do this before you, they would have helped you navigate a bit. Would you say what was probably the greatest obstacle getting through these deals?
Nothing. Just myself, honestly. I think I've drug my feet a lot, and I get, you know, with schoolwork and training, you just get tired, honestly. So I think just me, myself, dragging my feet and not really being on top of it like I should, that's probably the biggest thing. But other than that, it's not much to it.
Has anybody advised you about taxes? Do you engage attorneys, so on?
No.
I
think that's a lot. It's going to be a bigger problem. And as we come up with kids getting a lot of money and not really being informed
about
taxes and how, you know, the government comes and sandwiches. So I think that's it should be highlighted more, but it's not. And I think it should be. I had to talk to my mom about it, my dad about it. But other than that, there's not really much advice.
Legal. When Uncle Sam comes knocking, he comes knocking. But don't you worry about that. I mean,
very, very loudly. Yeah.
Especially with NIL now, there's so much noise, and a lot of people are spending everything that they receive. So they're not aware of what's actually going on. Have you been approached with any interesting management contracts, people who tried to sign you up as your agents?
No.
Okay. Do you believe you're at any disadvantage being at the D2 level?
It has its drawbacks, definitely. There's not enough resources. There's not a lot of funding. You know, you see, I took visits to my biggest visit is probably Texas. And you see, they have their own facility for just the track team. They have their own PlayStation 5s and like a little game room and the recovery and stuff like that. So that's the biggest disadvantage, having the resources and, you know, having someone that caters specifically their only job to the sports page and their track and field account and stuff like that. So we go through a lot, you know, trying to get what we need and what we deserve or as a track team as a whole here at St. Augustine's. So I would say it is a little disadvantage, but, you know, we all run track. We all had to train hard and had to beat me on the line. And I went and competed against the best of the best. So I don't look at it as that personally, but it's there. You can't miss it.
Interesting, because some of these big schools have ridiculous training facilities worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And that's, they're all like your Clemsons, your Oklahomas, your, you know, Alabamas, like all these big ones that have the big football revenue that trickles through to the to the track team and their facilities. One of the biggest questions that we hear is, how do you know a deal is the right deal when it comes to NIL? Like, what do you look for?
Yeah, I say I trust my parents, my mom and dad. I send them everything I get, no matter what it is, how simple it looks to me. My mom would normally read through every single word. She'll tell me, I don't like this, or, okay, we can try it, talk to them more, or, you know, just, yeah, go for it. It's great. So I'll let her do a lot of that. I read through it myself, but I just like to get a second opinion from either my mom or my head coach, Rashawn Jackson.
Very nice. What do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
Hopefully, give me a contract. I want a contract. I want to run professional. And I think I have the talent to do so. Just got to work hard and keep at it. So, yeah, that's really my biggest goal.
For those that don't understand the track rule, what does give me a contract mean?
So, track and field is a little different than other sports. Other sports have teams. They have a commission and all that stuff. Track is like, I forgot how to word it, but it's like you get a brand deal, a shoe deal. Most of the time it's Nike, Adidas, Puma. On runners coming on now, and they give you that deal to wear their shoes. That's pretty much how it goes. And you get your money also from competing at events. If you're good enough, you'll get appearance fees. And if you win, you'll get, you know, first, second, third prize money. So yeah, that's how I think of it as far as track and field goes.
Do you have any regrets?
Regrets? No, not at all. I think if I could do it all over again, I'd do the same thing. At the journey I've been going on, the progression. Like I said, it's a lot. I'm at a disadvantage, but I'm not using that for pity or anything like that. I work hard, and I run hard, compete hard, get the best of the best.
Very, very nice. What do you do in your pastime?
I play music.
Wow.
I'm really a musician. I play drums at the age of 2. Since then, I picked up guitar, bass guitar.
I could set a guitar in the background.
Oh, yeah, red guitar back there. Piano, organ, trumpet. I play whatever I can pick up. I try to play it. That's what I do in my free time.
Very, very nice. What are you most passionate about outside school and track and music?
Other than that, it's family. My little niece and nephews. I have 2 nieces and a nephew. I'm with them when I can be. I'm with those spread apart. One is in Charlotte, one's in Winston, and one's in out towards like Yadkinville in North Carolina. So I see them as much as I can. I love them. We play and we have fun and whatever.
What are some words of advice to those that are coming through similar journeys and entering the NIL world?
I would say make your own decision because you have to live with it. And a lot of people try to influence me, especially having a lot bigger offers on the table. So a lot of people were like, told me I was dumb. Like my teachers in high school when I committed, like that's what I was doing. Throwing away my life. Like I've heard a lot of crazy stuff as far as making a college decision. But you know, it's your decision. You gotta stand on it, you gotta live with it. So you can't have other people in your ear, you know, trying to tell you what they would do because they're not there. And that's just the biggest thing I would say, because you have to live through it and they don't.
From what you've told me today, your high school coach has played a significant role and had an impact in your career thus far. What would you say is the best piece of advice he has given you?
Man. Really, really simply put, just work hard and train hard. And, you know, your competition is always working where you're not. So he's pushed me there. He's cussed me out. He's motivated me. He's been a really tough coach, but we have that relationship, that understanding that when that's over, you know, it's all love.
Love it. Awesome. All right, man. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Terrell Robinson Jr., you've been amazing, buddy. Lots of insight. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. Do you have any parting words for us?
No, just if you run track, love the sport, you know, work hard, run fast, and the time will come. Don't ever chase times. Chase perfect your technique and your performance and stuff, and the time will come when it comes. So
there you go, athletes. Make it happen. Work hard. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Terrell Robinson Jr. Take care, everyone.